All right, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, open to Galatians chapter 6, Numbers chapter 13, and Joshua chapter 14. Now, have you got that many fingers? I really intended this week to preach a sermon. If you've been here very long, you know I try to preach, like on the 4th of July Sunday, I try to preach some sermon about freedom or something like that. And I tried that this week, honestly, and just didn't feel led to do it. So I began to search for something else, and this is what the Lord has led me to preach this morning. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You know, life sometimes can just be difficult. There are problems, there's pain, there's suffering. But the Bible is true, always. And in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Now, that's a wonderful promise. The reaping is a wonderful promise. But it also reminds us that there is no time to take a break from being obedient to God. There's no time to adjust our standards or loosen our standards to fit in with other people or to fit in with society. There's no time to pray less. There's no time to worship less. There's no time to take a break from being a Christian. We have to remain faithful. The reaping is promised to those who do not faint. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I know that sometimes you just get tired, don't you? You get tired physically, you get tired spiritually, you get tired mentally, you just get tired. And sometimes when the pain lingers, and sometimes they tell you, well, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. And sometimes the problems persist and seems like nothing makes any difference and you can't fix the problems and you... Every now and then, I think everybody just gets to that point where you just think, well, I just can't do it. I just can't go on. I just can't make it one more day, one more hour, one more minute. I just can't. The Bible is full of promises in the Scripture that remind us that we can. Do you remember the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh? Nobody knows for sure what it was. Everybody has a theory. I have a theory. But he had this thorn in the flesh. And he said in 2 Corinthians, he said, "I prayed and I asked God three times to remove the thorn." I don't know what it was, but it had gotten him down, whatever it was. And maybe he was at that point where, you know, I just can't go anymore, God. And so he prayed three times, "Take this thorn away from me." 2 Corinthians chapter 9 or chapter 12 verse 9 is God's response to Paul's prayer. Now Paul was a man of great faith, don't you think? Here's what God said, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." He said, "Paul, I'm not going to take it away, but my grace is sufficient to make your weakness into strength." Philippians 4:13, you know that verse. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I can go one more minute. I can go one more hour. I can go one more day. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." The Bible is full of promises to remind us that no matter how difficult or problematic life may become, we can do good. We can be faithful. We can, in due season, reap. We can not faint. And then, of course, the Bible is full of stories to demonstrate the promises of God. And Caleb is one of those stories. And that's where we come to Numbers chapter 13. I want to notice some things about Caleb this morning. And the first thing I want us to notice about Caleb is that he was commissioned by God. In Numbers chapter 13, God told Moses to send out 12 spies, one man from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, send them into the promised land to spy it out, to do some reconnaissance and to see what it was like. Caleb was one of those guys, and here was his commission. Numbers 13, starting in verse 17, the Bible says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Caleb was commissioned by God for a specific job, chosen and commissioned by God for a specific job. It was not an easy job. You know, sometimes I do this, and I think it's pretty typical. We read the Bible, we read the stories in the Bible, we read about the people in the Bible, and we don't really try to get into their shoes a little bit. We just think, you know, listen, we can read Caleb's story in just a few minutes, so we think it must have been easy, must not have been that big a deal. Listen, this was a big deal. This was a difficult thing. He was going to be gone for 40 days from all of his family and friends. I don't know if all 12 guys stayed together or if they split up into groups. I don't know how they did it, but they were all gone for 40 days. They had to avoid detection by the inhabitants of the Promised Land because the people in the Promised Land were their enemies. And there were lots of inhabitants of the Promised Land and only 12 of these guys. So if they found where they were, most likely they would be killed. There were no fast food joints or restaurants, so there was no food readily available. They had to find their own food. They had to find their own water. It must have been difficult, and it must have been dangerous because God told them, be of good courage. He wouldn't have said that if it wasn't going to be difficult, if it wasn't going to be dangerous. He wouldn't have told them that. But Caleb was one of those guys, and he went and he did the job. Now, Christian, we have been commissioned by God. We don't think about that, but He has commissioned us. The commands of Scripture are our commission as Christians. We are commissioned to love one another, including the unsaved. Boy, you got a neighbor that's not a Christian and it's just kind of a problem. You got to love them. We're commissioned to love one another. We're commissioned to forgive one another, to help one another, to encourage one another. Part of the regular attendance of worship according to Scripture is encouraging to other Christians, and we're commissioned to do that. We're commissioned to tell others about Jesus. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and He said unto them, and that's us, that's you and me, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He commissioned us to not be weary in well-doing. Now, I know it's not always easy. It's not always convenient to be obedient to God. I get a little perturbed, I guess, maybe is the word I'm going to use. That's to soften the blow a little bit. I get a little perturbed at these guys, men and women, preachers and teachers, who tell you, boy, if you'll just get saved, everything is going to be fine. If you'll just accept Christ as your Savior, life is just going to be a bed of roses. You're going to be healthy. And man, if you'll just send $100 to my church, you're going to be wealthy. Listen, that's not true. Did you know that? That's not true. They completely overlook the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His life was not easy. He was born into poverty. His parents were poor, Mary and Joseph, Mary and his earthly father, Joseph. I know that because of the sacrifice that they gave when they dedicated Jesus in the temple. They gave the sacrifice of the poor, 2 turtle doves. Jesus, as far as I know, and as far as history records, and as far as Scripture records, Jesus never owned a home, never owned a camel or a donkey, had only the clothes on his back. Never had the next meal in the cupboard. When it came time to pay taxes, you know what he did? He sent Peter out to catch a fish, and the fish had coins in its mouth to pay his taxes. They overlook that. They overlook his struggles. They overlook his discouragement. They overlook the time when he looked around and so many people had left following him, and he looked at the 12 and he said, are you going to go away also? They overlook the suffering, the pain, the barbaric death that Jesus died. And they either overlook or they ignore the very words of Jesus Christ in John chapter 16, verse 33, when he said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Now, does that sound like a bed of roses to you? In that same verse, Jesus said, "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." It's not going to be easy. Not all the time. But we must not quit, because in due season, we will reap if we faint not. Caleb was commissioned. We have been commissioned. And in due season, we'll reap the rewards of that commission. The next thing I want you to notice about Caleb is that he was consistent. When the 12 tribes came back from their mission, their spying mission in the Promised Land, they brought back their report, and they gathered the people of Israel together to give the report. Ten of them said, "Listen, it is a beautiful land. It is lush and fruitful. It is the land of milk and honey, just like God said it would be. But," they said, "the people are giants. As a matter of fact, we're like grasshoppers compared to them." Now, you know that wasn't true. They may have been big folks, but they weren't that big. And they said the cities are walled and fortified. They're strong. They led them to believe that they were impenetrable. They said, "It's beautiful, but listen, there's nothing we can do about it." They said, the ten said, "Our best course of action is just to turn around and go back to Egypt. We don't want to die in the wilderness. So the best thing we can do is just go back to Egypt and just go back to being slaves like we were before." Caleb and his friend Joshua disagreed with their report. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, the Bible says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" He said, "All these 10 guys are wrong. God can get us in there if we'll go." But the children of Israel believed the 10. The voices of the 10 prevailed, and so they decided they were going to appoint a new leader and go back to Egypt. Because of their disobedience, God caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. The spies were in the Promised Land for 40 days. So 1 year for each day that they were in there, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. I want us to think about Caleb and those 40 years for just a minute. This is another thing. We read that in a couple of verses of Scripture, and the next thing we know, you know, we're reading about them doing some other things, and they, 40 years. You know, 40 years, what's 40 years? I can do 40 years standing on my head, right? God said that every person 20 years and older would die before they would enter the Promised Land, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua. Think about that for just a minute. First of all, Caleb is wandering in the wilderness not because of his disobedience, but because of the disobedience of others. Every person that he knows, 20 years old and older, every single one of them dies, except for Joshua. Can you imagine all the funerals that he attended? Can you imagine the frustration that he must have experienced? Because, listen, he didn't want his family and his friends, his contemporaries, to die, but he knew that until they did, he was stuck in the wilderness. It must have been conflicting emotions for Caleb all of that time. He must have gotten discouraged by attending all those funerals. And by the way, the wilderness was no picnic. They weren't just camping out and eating s'mores all the time. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that they had manna in the morning and quail in the evening every day, 7 days a week, for 40 years. Try that on for size. I like hamburgers. Man, I have a hamburger every Sunday. But I'm going to tell you the truth. If I had to have one every morning and every night for 40 years, I'd be sick and tired of hamburgers. Wouldn't you? There was never abundance of anything. There was always sufficiency, but never an abundance. No new clothes, ladies, no new clothes, no new shoes for 40 years. Not a day or two, not a week or two, not a year or two, not until the size has changed. 40 years. Nothing was ever different. Nothing was ever new. They lived in tents if they had one. If they didn't, I suppose they slept out under the stars. They were always on the move. Never could put down roots and establish anything permanent because they were always on the move. When the cloud or the fire moved, they had to move for 40 years. And then there was the grumbling and the complaining of God's people. You've read the story. You know the story. Man, God couldn't do anything right or at the right time or the right way. He was always doing something wrong as far as the people were concerned. It wasn't enough. It wasn't good enough for 40 years. And yet, during all of that time, Caleb was faithful. And I know that because of what he said and what happened when after those 40 years, they finally began to enter into the promised land. Joshua chapter 14, starting in verse 10, the Bible says, these are the words of Caleb. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses. This was 5 years into their possession. While the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now lo, I am this day 85 years old. That's 85. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. After 40 years and at the age of 85, Caleb still believed that God was going to give him the promised land. He said, listen, God, 40 plus years ago, God promised me this mountain and I want it. Give it to me. I'm going to take it. That's faithfulness, folks. In difficult circumstances. Listen, I know your life may not be hunky-dory. I understand that. I know people have problems. I have problems. All God's children have problems. But Caleb wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of somebody else's disobedience. Caleb was consistently faithful to the Lord God Almighty. He wasn't perfect, but he was consistently faithful to the Lord God Almighty for 40 years in spite of all of everybody else's disobedience and grumbling. There will be challenges and there will be problems in this life. That's true for the saved and the unsaved, by the way. The Christian life is not always a picnic. Sometimes we even have to put up with the grumbling and complaining of God's people. Sometimes we're one of God's people that's grumbling and complaining. But God promised that in due season we would reap if we didn't quit. So Christian, be faithful. Do not quit. Do not give up. And trust God to keep His promise. He always has. He always will. The last thing I want us to notice about Caleb is that he was a conqueror. Joshua chapter 15, starting in verse 13. The Bible says, and unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave, that is Joshua, gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Anak was considered to be a giant. The family, the children of Anak, were considered to be giants by the Israelites. Now, I don't know how big they were. I don't know that. But they were big enough that the Israelites considered them to be giants. The part of the promised land that God had promised to Caleb was inhabited by the children of Anak, the giants. Caleb is 85 years old. Now, I know he said, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. And I believe that to be true, but he was still 85 years old. He was at least 20 years older than every other man in the army except for Joshua. At least by 20 years. In some cases, many more than that. But he believed God. And he thought, in due season I'll reap if I faint not. So he decided, I won't faint. And he said, listen, you just give me that mountain and I'll go get it. And the Bible says that he drove thence. He drove out the children of Anak. He destroyed them like God told him to. And he inhabited the land that God promised to him. He was a conqueror. I've already said this many times. I know life can be difficult. Boy, this world's getting increasingly sinful and wicked. I understand that. I know sometimes it seems like, you know, you witness and you're faithful and you pray and you tell others and you go to church and you pay your tithes and you do all that stuff. And sometimes it seems like it's not having much effect on anybody else or even on you for that matter. I know that can be discouraging. But I want to remind you of two things this morning. Number one, the Christian life is far better than any other life that we can live. And if you're a Christian, you know that's true. One of the reasons, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I want to tell you one of the reasons Christians keep telling you about Jesus. We're not trying to force Jesus on you. We're not trying to force religion on you. We want you to experience how wonderful it is to be a child of God. We as Christians always have the presence of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer. We always have the peace of God. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. We always have the provision of God. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we always have the protection of God. The Bible says that He encompasses the believer. He surrounds the believer. Always we have those things. The second thing I want you to remember and tell you this morning is that the Word of God is always true. And if we will not be weary in well-doing, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not.